thanks for tuning in to On the Same Page, a new podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library to keep you in the loop and on the same page about what's happening at your library.
Okay, it's January 15th, also known as
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
So we are going to do a couple things in this episode. We're going to talk about some of the library services that might help you have a good new year. And
just some services that you might not know about already.
Help you with some of your resolutions.
Yes. Also, because this is coming out on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the day when we are closed.
Correct.
We chat about a number of books that you might be interested in reading related to his work and legacy.
We also interview a local historian, amateur local historian, who works with us at the Shelburne in the Central Reference Department.
All right, that's it. Let's get started.
Here's book chat. Okay, for book chat today, since this is coming out on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we are going to talk about some of our favorite books about racial justice and other related social issues.
Yes. I'm going to start with my favorite graphic novel about Dr. King. It's called I See the Promised Land. It's unusual. It's a really cool book. The author is Arthur Flowers. He is a writer, an African-American writer, blues singer, and griot, which is I had to look up that word just now because I wasn't familiar with it, but it comes from a storytelling tradition from Western Africa. West African, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
West African storytelling tradition.
And so the narrative is structured following this sort of storytelling tradition. And then the illustrator, Manu Chitrakar, I apologize if I am emphasizing the wrong syllables there. He is an Indian scroll painter. So the art in this book is based on his experience doing Indian scroll painting. So it's just this remarkable book to look at and to read. And it follows Dr. King's life, you know, and it looks at him not only as a leader, but as a person. It doesn't shy away from his flaws as a person, but celebrates his life and legacy as well. So it's just this really incredible book. And it came out in 2013. So it's 5 years old at this point, which is crazy.
I keep forgetting it's 2013.
Yeah, it came out in January of 2013. Just in time, I think, for Martin Luther King Jr. Day that year. But it's wonderful, and I highly recommend it. We'll include a link to it in our show notes.
Absolutely.
But it's wonderful. We're going to list a few books that we've read recently and highly recommend that sort of build off Dr. King's legacy of working towards civil rights and racial justice.
Talk about the current trends and maybe issues in that field still. So I will start. I am currently reading Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson. It came out in 2014. It is a book about the incarceration of African-American men and maybe some of the injustices that are meted out around that.
And I am currently reading Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, which originally came out in 2010, but was re-released in 2012. And it's about similar concepts. And you may have heard of this one. And it's just talking about mass incarceration, specifically in communities of color.
I read James Baldwin's The Fire. Well, we both read James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time. It originally came out in, like, 1967 or something. And it was about the civil rights struggle at that time.
So as a contemporary of Dr. King.
If you are not familiar with Ta-Nehisi Coates' Between the World and Me, he follows that structure very similarly.
Yes, he was trying to rewrite or recreate.
So if you've read that, you will recognize the structure, you will probably enjoy the structure, and the commentary is surprisingly still relevant.
And related to that, Ta-Nehisi Coates released just this past year a book called We Were 8 Years in Power, an American Tragedy, and those are reflections on Barack Obama's presidency and what that really stood for and meant in terms of the realities of racial disparity today.
We both read late last year Tears We Cannot Stop by Michael Eric Dyson.
Oh, man.
Which is a sermon. He structures it as a sermon.
And it's specifically written for...
white audience.
Yeah, the white American audience.
Just trying to describe his personal observations and experiences as a African American man in America.
Yes. I also recently read The Color of Law, which Zach talked about on this podcast earlier. And that is by Richard Rothstein. And it came out earlier this year. It came out last year. It came out in May of 2017. And that's talking about how federal, local, and state governments on all levels in the United States created segregated communities and have, whether explicitly, intentionally, or not, kind of maintained those.
Yeah, they've maintained the segregation right. that they created even after laws telling them they had to stop.
Yes.
They found loopholes to maintain the status quo because it is comfortable for them.
Right. And some of those loopholes are just not addressing segregation that was created by past laws. We have another book by Michael Eric Dyson, who wrote Tears We Cannot Stop. This is available only as a downloadable audiobook in our collection. It's called April 4th, 1968. And so that was the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And so he's just talking about King's life and legacy. And at the end, there's even, I think, a conversation a fictional conversation, obviously, that he stages with who he thinks Dr. King would have been today had he lived. So it's very interesting, and it's a very powerful listen.
There are a couple young adult books out right now that are conversation pieces about these topics, including King. One is The Hate You Give, yes, which we've talked about previously, about a young girl who witnesses the shooting of her young African-American male friend,
yes,
by the police and the aftermath of that. And more recently, there's Dear Martin.
Yes, by Nick Stone.
Which is kind of a conversation in letters, mm-hmm, between a young African-American teen boy and Dr. King.
So these are some recent books
that we intend to read.
Or have already read.
Once we get our holds.
These are good choices if you want to read more about how Dr. King's legacy exists today in terms of continued struggles for racial justice and also the lasting discrimination in a variety of forms that he was
working
and organizing against. Okay. And now we are going to hear from Maddie about her adventures in writing
historical articles.
Today we are talking to Central Reference Department shelver Maddie about the article she recently published in the magazine of Albemarle County History. It was her first publication, and so we're going to talk to her about her process, why she wanted to do it, and a whole bunch of interesting tidbits like that.
Yes. So thank you for joining us, Maddie.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So just to get started, why did you want to write a historical article?
Well, it was actually suggested to me by the collections manager at the Historical Society. The way I got into it was I was volunteering there, digitizing prints of this photographer, Rip Payne, and they wanted to do an article about him, especially because it was right around the time of the 100th year anniversary of his birth. And so Carrie, who's the collections manager, asked if I wanted to write the article about him for their magazine, and I thought, why not? I'll give it a shot, even though I hadn't done that before. She was really supportive and made it feel like it's not going to be a crazy, intimidating thing. I wasn't going to be on my own. She was going to support me every step of the way.
That's awesome. So it's about, I'm sorry, I've already forgotten the photographer's name.
Rip Payne.
Rick Payne.
Rip. Like,
Rip.
Like tearing a page. Yeah. That was his nickname. His actual name's Russell Clinton Payne, but he always went by Rip.
Rip.
Yeah.
Okay. And so is it about his life and work, or do you want to, can you kind of
yes,
tell us?
Yes, it is about him primarily, but also a little bit about how he kind of reflected what was happening at the time and in photography and in Charlottesville, because he was born in 1917, died in 1990, and was really active from like 1940-ish, like the late 30s through the late 80s. Like, he was active for a really long time in Charlottesville, this region. So he saw a lot of the big significant things that happened. For example, Hurricane Camille, which was a huge event in this area. He was one of the first people to be out there in Scottsville recording the flood and the damage. So you can really take a step through Charlottesville history just by looking through some of his prints.
Yeah, and some of the prints are included with the article.
Yes. So in his early career, he started with, like, sports photography. He started building up his connections through UVA and doing photography for them, speakers. Then he got into the news. He shot for Daily Progress, Richmond Newsleader. He was a stringer for Life magazine in this area. But he really did a little bit of everything. So he would do news photography, but then he'd also work for the police sometimes. So some of his pictures are pretty gnarly because they're car accidents and suicides and that kind of thing. But there's also a lot of, like, happy moments, like parades and the Dogwood Festival. And so it's a really huge variety of types of photography. In his later life, he started to focus more on wedding photography. He started to fade out of news and police photography and was mainly doing wedding photography.
So what was your process for putting this together, this article?
I started in, I think, May, working on it, and I probably was not the most efficient in my methods because I had never done this before. The first thing was really reaching out to people who knew him, because luckily there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's some people around this area who knew him. And, for example, Jim Carpenter, who in his own right is a respected photographer in the region, and I talked to him. I talked to Ray Berry, who was a journalist for the Daily Progress, some of his family who's in the region, and so I reached out to them to do interviews, which was a little nerve-wracking because I hadn't really interviewed people before. You guys are old hat at it, clearly. It was a little nerve-wracking for me to be, I felt like, am I imposing? But everybody was super nice and loved to talk about him, and he was clearly well-loved by the people who knew him.
That's great.
Do you think you'll write another article?
I don't know. It was a lot of work. And again, I think that's partially just because I had never done it before. Luckily, Carrie and everybody at the Historical Society, including Margaret O'Brien and Stephen Meeks, they were really supportive. And anytime I needed help or had questions, they were there to help me and support me and guide me. But I also wasn't working at the time, and so who knows where I'll be, you know, the next time around. It is a big time commitment, so who knows. But again, they're really supportive, so I would say if anybody was curious about doing it, that they should look into it, because it's a good experience.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. And so your article came out in December? Is that when the magazine came out?
I believe so, yeah.
The end recently. Of the year, so yeah. It took about 6 months, 7 months?
Yeah, I was done with, like, the heavy lifting probably in August, early September. That was kind of when I stopped really, like, writing a lot and doing the harder work. And then the next few months were just following up on things and making sure the loose ends were tied up and that kind of thing. And they were in the process of actually putting together the magazine and editing in the pictures and the layout and that kind of thing. So I would say the actual process for me was more like 3 or 4 months.
Okay. We have the issue in question available at our central library.
As well as at the Albemarle County Historical Society.
And we'll put a link to the catalog record in our show notes so that you can find it if you're looking for it.
You do have to come to either facility to read it. They are both reference materials because they are so rare.
Yes.
But you can also purchase a copy if you were so inclined at the Historical Society.
At the Historical Society, okay.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay, so it is a new year. It's about halfway through January. Did you make any reading resolutions?
I want to keep a book with me more often, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, if you're at the doctor, you're in the waiting room, the dentist. I think I got in the habit of just, you know, on my phone, mm-hmm. scrolling mindlessly, and I'd rather just be reading in that time. So I'm trying to keep a book with me more often.
Do you read on your phone at all?
Not books or like long passages. I think that kind of hurts my eyes a bit, but I am on my phone way too much.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's bad.
And so this was our favorite question to ask everyone. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading The Greater Journey by David McCullough. about the first wave of Americans who went to Paris, who were writers and artists, and their experience there. So I haven't gotten too far into it, but it's really good so far.
Yeah, Mikel is a really good writer.
He has, I think, a rabid following.
He does historical
narrative
so well.
Yeah. As a shelver, you kind of get that insight of what's really popular. Because every book of his, there's like 3 copies.
Right. You're constantly like putting it away. You're probably
too. Yeah, so I know that he must be popular because of his shelf presence.
Do you find most of your reading from shelving?
I have been reading a lot more nonfiction now that I'm a nonfiction shelver. So I see stuff and I'm like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, that's cool. Working in the stacks tends to... Yeah.
I discovered Yeats just because one of his books was bright pink. So I'd never read any of his poetry before, but there was this bright pink book of early Yeats poetry, so I checked it out and I really liked it. So
excellent. Thank goodness
for, I don't know, magpie sensibility.
Serendipity and shelving.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
All right.
That's all we have for you.
Great. Yes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that was great to hear from Maddie.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I could write a historical article now.
I feel like I know that it's possible, but I feel like I also know that I am unwilling to commit the time.
Yeah, 4 months, that's a lot of time.
But it sounds great. It sounds like she got to meet a lot of neat kind of local personalities in the process.
No, I kind of want to do it. Since it is the new year, we thought we would help you out with some of your resolutions by highlighting some of the features in JRML's collection and libraries that you may not be aware of, or if you are aware of, you haven't taken advantage of yet for some reason that maybe we can help with. So we're going to start with things that you can check out.
Yes.
From the library.
So we have some things that you can place a hold on through our online catalog or in person when you're at a library. And these can be picked up and checked out from any library location, although depending on the item, there may be a hold list. One is we have passes to the Discovery Museum in downtown Charlottesville. The museum passes are good for 3 weeks. They admit 4 people for free, so you don't have to pay that admission fee.
We also have state park backpacks, which include a state park pass. They let you in free to any of the state parks in Virginia. And you also get to check those out for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. And that is part of a nature backpack.
It's part of a statewide program through the Library of Virginia that helped us get these backpacks. And it comes with like a bug catcher and a magnifying glass. And...
So it's got everything that you need to make your trip into the state park fun and educational. We also check out electricity monitors. So if you want to see if you're wasting energy anywhere or how much, you know, about what your energy consumption is, this is a great way to gauge that and potentially cut down on it.
We check out wireless hotspots. So if you have limited internet access where you live or work or are going to be, you can check those out and see if that improves for you with these. They are fairly easy to use. They work on a Verizon cell data system. So around town and most parts of the counties.
To check out these hotspots, though, you will have to fill out an agreement in person, and I believe there is an age restriction for those.
Yes, and it's just agreeing to cover the cost of the hotspot should you lose or damage it.
And we had Angela Critics, our children's services manager, talk about this earlier, but we have a toy library, and so there are sets of toys at every branch now, but you can find the set of toys that you'd like online in our catalog and choose to put a hold on that one to pick up at whatever branch is most convenient for you.
And then the last one we're going to talk about actually doesn't leave the library, but it is still checked out with your library card. You can check out at our central branch Chromebooks for the whole day, any period of time you need during the day.
And if you're not familiar with what a Chromebook is, it's basically a simple laptop.
So that's all of our items that you can check out in some capacity.
Physical items that you can check out.
Now we're going to talk about other services online that you can use your library card for, both in the library and from home.
Yes.
Most people, when you ask them about libraries, will say, oh yeah, books. Yes, that is true. But we also have downloadable books and downloadable ebooks and also downloadable magazines, all freely available with your library card, and you can put them on computers or devices like phones or tablets. If you happen to get a new tablet or e-reader for the holiday season, you can certainly read those on there.
And we have a variety of services that make those downloadable, make that downloadable content available, and we can put links to that in our show notes.
Absolutely. And if you get started with any of those and have any questions, library staff is happy to help you work through the process.
Yes. In addition to downloadable books and magazines, we have a number of databases with content that covers a wide range.
Yeah, and so just some of the ones you might be interested in are, we have a language learning database called Transparent that works, you know, very similarly to Rosetta Stone or Duolingo, if you're familiar with those.
And Transparent Language also has an app, so you can do it in your browser on a computer, or you can, and you can also install the app on a mobile device.
And your account will sync across devices when you do that.
We also have a couple of genealogical databases. We have Heritage Quest, which is available from home or in the library, wherever you have internet access, as long as you go through our website. And we also have Ancestry, which is available in library only. And that's an excellent genealogical resource.
This is the Ancestry Library Edition, so it is not the fully fledged subscription version that you might be familiar with, but it'll get you started, and it is totally free, as long as you're in the library. We also have a car repair database called Chillins, which you may be familiar with if you've ever bought the repair manual for your car. It is available through our website, and it lets you pick whichever car you want to work on and learn more about, and provides very easy to understand information about that and the repairs needed.
We also have two databases that are useful for grant seeking. One is the Foundation Directory Online. The Foundation Directory Online is only available for use in libraries. And the second Foundation Directory that we have, Directory of Foundations that we have, is only available at the Central and Northside Libraries. And that is called the Directory of Virginia Foundations. So it is specific to Virginia.
One last thing that we have online as a partnership with UVA is the Digitized Daily Progress through 1963 through 1964. And it is every issue that still exists.
Yes.
And it has been digitized. This is an excellent collection. We're very happy it's been digitized, so you can browse from the comfort of your own home. You don't have to come down and use our microfilm machines. However, it is not searchable. You do have to browse. But it's always fun to poke around and see what the newspaper was like 50 years ago or more.
We also have a couple of other databases with extensive newspaper collections, including General One File and eLibrary, and so you can find those in the same place that you would find the Daily Progress on our website. If you are looking for Daily Progress issues that are more recent than 1964, you can find those at the Central Library. We do have the entire
collection
of past Daily Progress articles available on microfilm, and we have microfilm readers. So those are only available at the Central Library.
So now we're going to transition to services available in the library, free of charge. We just mentioned microfilm. If you need assistance with any of the resources we just mentioned or general computer help, we offer one-on-one tutorials. You can set those up at all library locations, and someone will sit down with you for 60 minutes and help you learn new skills on the computer.
Each of our library branches also offers test proctoring services. So if you are taking an online course or pursuing any sort of education that requires you to take a test that is proctored, we do that free of charge, which might make us different than other proctoring locations.
The one caveat with that is if you are taking a driving course that is not through Driving University, we won't be able to proctor you for that.
But the bright side of that is, if you are taking a driving university course for driver's improvement, we can help you out.
Most library locations have at least one notary on staff, So free notary service is available. Definitely call ahead for that so you can make sure the notary will be ready when you are coming down, or make an appointment in the case of the Northside Library so they can be available for you when you come. That is a free service, but it does take longer than you might think, so plan accordingly. The only other thing, and it's available at the Central Library, it's not technically a library program, but just so you're available or you're aware of it, you may have heard of it and not know where it is or what it does. The City of Charlottesville's Downtown Job Center is on the lowest level of the Central Library. It is open 9 to 5 most days of the week, unless there's...
Most weekdays, not on the weekend, although occasionally they're closed for meetings and things like that. So you can check their website ahead of time to see if they will be available. And that is that's part of a city department that is independent of the library, but it is a nice collaboration that we're able to offer.
Yes.
And so they do have a lot of great job seeking services.
And job assistance or job application assistance and some job programs you may be interested in, typically for Charlottesville or Albemarle residents. There are also a lot of things you can do in the libraries. Both the Northside Library and the Crozet Library have recording equipment or a recording studio set up.
Those are available for use by appointment, so you'll want to contact the branches to do that, but they do have high-quality audio recording equipment. The Northside Library also has a 3D printer, which I believe we have mentioned at multiple points. and they have a wonderful 3D printing service where you can design something online, create a 3D design yourself, and submit it, and they will print it for you to pick up free of charge.
Most library locations have flatbed scanners. The Central Library also has an appointment-only service for scanning photos or old slides or film negatives and making digital copies of those, so just call or email to set that up.
While you're in the library, besides reading books, you can also pick up a newspaper or a magazine. We have a variety of newspapers and magazines, and those vary by branch to branch, depending on...
That's true.
What their communities most want.
Yes.
We also have some small local history collections at a few of our libraries. The Central Library has
a Charlottesville, Albemarle specific collection.
The Louisa County and Nelson County libraries also have county specific historical collections.
You can also find the print version of a lot of local government documents in the reference collection at the library.
We also have the print version of Consumer Reports available at all library branches. In addition to all of these wonderful services that are available either in the library itself or through the library online, we have a bookmobile that serves much of Albemarle County and Charlottesville. So the bookmobile brings library services and access to books to communities.
So we hope you try out one of these services, especially if you are unfamiliar with any of them, or ask a librarian to help you access the ones that you're interested in.
Yes.
We think they're very cool.
If you're not sure what one or more of these things that we just mentioned are, talk to a library staff member.
Yes, we'll try to provide as many links as possible to these resources. Some of our databases are a little bit hard to make specific links to.
Yes.
But we will do our best. Well, we hope you are going to try out some library resources that you may not have tried before.
Yes. And we hope that we turned you on to some resources you might not have otherwise known about.
And maybe one of those is the Magazine of Albemarle County History.
Yes.
Available at Central and the Historical Society. It was great to talk to Maddie and learn a little bit more about that process.
Yes.
She made it very accessible. We will be back in 2 weeks.
On February 1st.
With
information about our winter reading program for kids.
This podcast has been brought to you through the generous support of the Friends of the Library. If you would like to learn more or join the Friends, you can go to the link in our show notes or to their website at jmrlfriends.org.
That's all for us. To make sure that you never miss an episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you choose to listen to podcasts. So thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be on the same page.
That's for president.
It's not a bad idea.